We've been talking about breathing room over the last couple of weeks and exploring the different things that hinder us really from making time for the things that matter most, from devoting ourselves fully to the things that God has for us. And we started by saying that one of the reasons we can is because of the busyness we encounter in life. We're buried by busyness. And we're squandering time or wasting time or have our time so filled up. And I've been using the metaphor of those two closets. Go ahead and put that on screen just to continually remind us there of these two aspects of our life. We can either be like that cluttered closet with no margin, no room to fit anything else in, no room for more relationships. We're overextended, overwhelmed, exhausted, and tired. Or we could be like the organized, spacious closet, right? That is not overly committed. That is not overwhelmed. That actually has time and space, emotional capacity, relational capacity to engage in the things that God has for them to do. And our desire is that we would be that kind of person. We could have cluttered closets and drawers and attic spaces and garages in the natural, but spiritually and mentally and emotionally in our life, we should not resemble clutter. We should resemble more that organized space. And today I want to focus on the aspect of rest, because I think it's an area that we all struggle a lot in. Struggle to find rest in our life. In 2010, we were about a year into the start of Scent Church and this particular church plant, and I was bivocational then, and I'm bivocational now to some degree. But at that time, I was helping my dad out. He had a small motor freight company, and I came on board to help him. I needed to work. He offered me an opportunity to come alongside him and help him with that. So I did logistics, and I managed loading our trucks, finding freight to haul, and we had about 8 to 10 drivers at any one time driving over the road across this country, and I would find loads, and I would communicate with the truck drivers while they're out and about when they needed to refuel, they needed parts, their truck broke down, they were late on their loads, all of that stuff. And initially, it was all right, you know, 20, 30, 40 hours a week doing that. But it got a little bit more intense as time went on, and we hired some more folks and brought them on. And when I think back at that time, you know, I want to share, just kind of give you a little snapshot into some of the things I was dealing with in my own heart and life at that particular time and juncture. And Josh and Lisa were there, and Gabriel and Nancy, and Mark and Angela, and a few of you were there during that particular time. But the pressures of starting this church and the transitions we were going through and the location we were at, coupled with that particular job that really wasn't 20, 30, 40 hours a week. It was actually a 24/7 job. Since we had drivers on the road at all manner of time, I would be getting calls at 2 in the morning, 4 in the morning, 11 o'clock at night, need fuel, oh, my tire blew out, oh, I'm late for this load, oh, they're turning back some of this, all of this stuff, and the pressures of all of that started getting to me over time. And I noticed some heart issues happening with me, which where I was becoming irritable. I was becoming easily angered. I was frustrated, you know, with all of that. Now, I don't think anyone here may have been a truck driver. Anyone here been a truck driver before I speak ill of truck drivers? All right, well, they're a special breed, okay? Not all, but a lot of them. Are crooks, you know, and they're just looking out for themselves, and they do a lot of shady things when they're out there, out and about. So we were struggling with all of that issues there, and I remember one time getting a call right before I was about to preach. Josh was finishing up worship, leading worship. We were at the Sanford Plaza there, and my phone is burning up, man, and I was ignoring it. I knew it was one of the drive, but I was ignoring it because I was like, it's 2 minutes, I have to go up there and preach, and here's this guy calling him. It turns, so I step out to the other side of our facility there, and I call him, and a tire blew out. Tire blew out. They're stuck. They need to get towed, or they need to get that fixed. And I remember, this was just 2 minutes before I had to preach, I got so angry. was angry with the dude. I was angry with myself. I was angry with God, you know, in that moment. You know, that this is the kind of stuff we're doing. There's one time, Betsy remembers, got off the phone with one of them, and I took my phone and threw it against the wall. What I was dealing with at that time, and I didn't know how to classify it, but I was dealing with a level of mental, emotional, and spiritual exhaustion in my own life that was now manifesting in these particular ways. It was not healthy. It was a difficult time of my life there. And I say this in hindsight, looking back, and I go, you know, I never understood. People tell me they had mental breakdowns or emotional breakdowns. And I'm like, how is that even possible? Well, I got to tell you, I was probably pretty close to it, man. And I could certainly sympathize with people walking through a level of things, spiritual pressures, emotional pressures, things going on in life. And we don't know how to classify it other than to say when people ask us, how are you doing? You can only say, I'm tired. I'm exhausted. I feel like I need a break. Like my tank is empty. And there's so many people around us kind of in zombie states going through life in this state of physical, mental, emotional, or spiritual exhaustion. And they need a break. They need reprieve from this. We live in a burnout culture. I mean, that's the reality. Google burnout culture. There's our business articles, leadership articles, ministry articles. There's all sorts of stuff on that because the reality is we live life at such an unsustainable pace that all we have is carnage and wreckage of lives ruined right here on the road of this overwhelmed states and exhausted states. Being buried by busyness is the thing that we talked about that causes us to have little breathing room, little margin, very little bandwidth in our life for the things God has for us. Things that hinder us from making time for the things that matter most. But the byproduct of busyness is this very thing that we're talking about. Exhaustion and tiredness. And it seems perpetual. You ever felt like, man, this just exhaustion never ends? You ever feel like that? Anybody want to be honest and said, just, I feel like I'm tired all the time. And it could be low energy, we feel it spiritually, but it could be emotional, it could be just mental, I have no more space anymore to process and think. It's fairly common to see people around us who experience a combination of those things. At the end of last year, a very high-profile megachurch pastor in the Nashville area just resigned suddenly from his church. And it's not to what you think it is. It wasn't infidelity, it wasn't money issues. This is what he said. This was his statement as he stood before his congregation. Massive, 15, 20,000 people. I don't even know how large this church is. He said, I'm tired and I'm broken and I just need to rest. I'm tired and I'm broken and I just need to rest. And I think there's a lot of people, there's some here and around us who could say those same things. I'm tired, I'm broken, I'm overwhelmed, I'm exhausted, there just seems no end to the things I walk through and I'm dealing with and going through. I have no space, I have no margin, I have no breathing room. Moms whose workloads never end, dads who are, you know, overworked, busy schedules, packed family agendas, aging parents to take care of and deal with, on and on and on and on it goes. We need a break. I need a break. And the good thing is that God has a remedy for that, that I pray that we kind of press into here as a people of God. Because to enter into rest, or a rhythm of rest that I'm going to call it, is something you and I are going to have to fight for. Something you and I are going to have to fight for with ruthless intentionality. Because this world's nuts. Our lives are nuts. We are busy, and sometimes we're buried in it. Time doesn't seem to be enough of it. And this thing of rest eludes us. Why can't we rest? Why can't we enter into rest? Well, we're in a culture of mass production, aren't we? It's about producing. It's about the hustle, right? It's about getting things done. Like, and if we're not moving, if we're not doing, if we're not producing, we're not advancing. To rest for many is to say, is to not produce. To rest equals no productivity in our life, no output. Many people view rest, oh, you're resting. Wait, man, you need to be working, man. You need to be doing something. Many think of rest as the lazy man's sport, you know, as something that only the slothful engage in. You can't make money if you're resting. And courtesy of this modern world we live in, right, of technical innovation, you and I are expected to always be available. You ever have somebody text you and you can't respond in a moment, and then like a few minutes later you get a question mark, and then another question mark, and then another question mark, you know? I have a client who does that to me, and every time I get a question mark, I add 30 minutes to my callback time. Like, I'm going to call you when I can call you, right? I'm going to respond when I can respond. But because of our technology, it's like, I know you're seeing that text right there. You need to get back to me right now, right? So we're expected to always be available. And because of social media and 24-hour news outlet, right, we're always expected to know everything that's going on right now in our world. If we have access to it, we're able to be able to achieve everything we need to achieve as a result of that. Our need of constant distraction, our addiction to stimulation and validation contributes to mental and emotional and spiritual and physical exhaustion. We got electricity around the clock, right? We have something they didn't have 100 or so years ago, right? So we can burn the proverbial midnight oil, right? We can burn the candle above. We can work round the clock nowadays, right? It used to be, right, the sun went down, everybody started getting tucked into their home, right? You had supper, everybody's in bed by 6 o'clock at night, you know, or whatever, I don't know. I didn't live during that time. You probably didn't either, right? But now we can be up all hours in the night. How many of you found yourself working at 2 or 3 in the morning? Yeah, we all do it. We all do it because we can. Many wear their busyness and their exhaustion like a badge of honor. Something we brag to other, man, my work is so hard, I'm just exhausted, you know. And in that same breath, we're saying, yeah, man, I had to pop some pills last night to get some sleep. Had trouble sleeping. It's amazing how many people are taking sleeping aids in our culture today. Got to self-medicate to figure out how to get space for rest in our life. The truth is that the same factors that lead us to be buried by busyness are some of the very same things that lead to that byproduct of exhaustion. I said it before about busyness. Busyness is a symptom. It's not the sickness. And the same thing can be said for this perpetual state of tiredness and exhaustion. It is not the sickness, but a symptom. There are underlying heart or gospel issues there that are taking place that bring that about. We talked about 5 of those things in busyness. Those same things apply to us. When we talked about the need to please other people, the need to prove ourselves to others. When we see productivity as the thing, you know, driving the success values in our life. When we talked about this wanting to acquire more and more possessions so we work harder and do all those particular things to bring that about. Or we posture to impress others. All these things, these pride issues. I won't go into all those things in detail. You can go back and listen to message 1 there. But all of those things, man, these are heart issues. And that kind of pride brings something about, has a consequence in our life. Now, I know we need to work hard. I'm going to talk about that in a moment. And actually, working hard should make us tired if we're actually working. But this state of exhaustion where we feel like, man, we are empty and we can't anymore, and like that next thing that gets piled on me is the thing that'll break me, these are heart issues that you and I need to work through. The inability to say no to things for any of those reasons or others, again, is a heart issue. Some of the reasons we don't rest, some of these are repeats from that first series. I don't rest, ultimately, many times, because I don't trust God. I don't trust Him with my life. I don't trust Him with my family. I don't trust Him with my finances. I don't trust Him with my job or my business. I don't trust God. It's a reason I want to try to control everything in my life. It's a reason I am driving to do things, and it's a reason that brings about exhaustion. I don't rest because I don't respect my creaturely limitations. Guess what? You are not Superman or Wonder Woman. God didn't design us that way. There are actual creaturely limitations to our existence, right? We cannot work 24/7. We cannot maintain and sustain a pace of work where we never get to engage in rest. Because guess what? When we don't engage in rest, what happens? Your body ultimately does what? Right? You crash, man. Yeah, absolutely. You get sick. Your body wears down. You're like in a fog. You can't think. You can't process. You can't create. We have creaturely limitations. And when I'm in a perpetual state of tiredness, I says, I don't respect those limits that God has imposed upon humanity. Another reason I don't rest is because I don't see how rest is linked to mind, spirit, soul, and body care. I don't see that I need rest. And because God made us as this system of interdependent agencies within us, of the mind and the spirit and the soul, and a physical, corporeal body here, right? And it all works together. And when I reach that level of exhaustion, that thing has ripple effects throughout my whole being. And here's another reason we don't rest. Another reason we don't rest is that we don't see anything wrong with worshiping our idols. Because our lack of rest or our neglect of sleep and the things that we should be doing to maintain our health in mind, spirit, soul, and body, what are the things that we're replacing that with? What are the things that we're spending and devoting and engaging our time in that is robbing us of rest? So whether it's entertainment, whether it's social media, whether it's sports, whether it's a hobby, whether it's a relationship, any of those things that rob us of what we should be engaging in that's this kind of rhythm of rest that we're going to see in the scripture here, ultimately is an idol that you and I worship. And we have to wrestle with that. Our lack of rest, whether sleep, neglect, or regular extended periods of rest, has mental, emotional, spiritual, and physical consequences, beloved. I can speak firsthand about those things, and many of you here can as well. Okay? It's had detrimental effects. So here's the big idea. Here's the main point that I want you to just write down in your notes. And ultimately, I want us to see through the passages that you and I are going to go through. And it's this. A rhythm of rest. Because that's what I'm prescribing here. A rhythm of rest. Not just one period of rest here or there. But a rhythm of rest is recognition of reliance on my Redeemer. A rhythm of rest is recognition of my reliance on my Redeemer. And we're going to come back to that. Go ahead and turn with me to Genesis chapter 2. I don't think anybody here would argue with me in that rest needs to be something that needs to be a regular part of our life. Anybody here want to say, no, we don't need to rest? We want to debate that one today? No, right? We all need it, right? We need rest. We need regular periods of rest. We need to engage in that. So nobody here is saying we don't need it. The problem is we don't know how to implement it. We don't know how to flesh this out in the day-to-day rhythm of life itself, where rest is just a normal thing that you and I engage in. Now, I'm not talking about just getting a good night's sleep, though we need to do that. There are scientific, medical reasons that we should get a good night's rest. We feel it. We feel better when we do. Okay? So I'm not talking about that. We need that. But a regular period of extended rest, again, from the madness of life. So what does God have to say about rest? A lot. So much so, it's part of the creation account and part of the Ten Commandments. All right, so we're going to look at those two chunks there today. Very important. Genesis chapter 2. This is the account of the seventh day of creation. 6 days, God works. God labors. God creates. He speaks into existence. He forms. He fashions man. And then it says this in verse 1 of chapter 2. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day, made it holy, because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. Listen to what he's saying. Not only did he rest from his work, he worked hard. Day seven comes, it says he rests from his work. And what does he do in regard to that day? He says he blesses it. He blesses the seventh day and makes it holy. Set apart. Consecrated. Because on that day, God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. God establishes a pattern for humanity. He establishes a pattern for Adam and Eve, and ultimately for all mankind here. 6 days work, one day rest. Now, does God need rest? No. He doesn't need rest. But he establishes a pattern for mankind. 6 days, one day. 6 days, one day. Work six, rest one. Now, you can't separate work from rest here, okay? Because they're linked and intertwined here. And I know there's many who think of work as, man, this thing I have to do, I wish I did not have to do, I live for Fridays, you know, on and on. This is our culture and our world. But work is not a curse. Work is not a curse. Only one amen. I know it's hard to say that, right? Work is not a curse, and I can prove it to you. When did God establish work for man? Before the fall or after the fall? Before. The mandate comes before that. The tasks God gives man to cultivate the earth, okay, to work it, to labor it, to extend the beauty of the garden to all the ends of the earth did not come after the fall as a curse. Now, work was going to get harder after the curse, but it wasn't after the fall. It was before the fall, right? It's not a curse. And the reality is you and I are supposed to be tired from work, right? Physically tired from our labor. We should go to bed tired from work if we're working, okay? It should feel like we actually did something that particular day. But it's not a curse. It's not a curse. It's not a necessary evil. It's not something to avoid if all humanly possible. It is a good thing. And work done unto the Lord is so tied to our worship. It's inseparable. And work, though, it's not the thing we live for. Okay? It's not our ultimate purpose in life. Worship is. But our work can be and contribute to worship. And so God gives man work. And he says, 6 days you work, and one day you rest. 6 days you work, and one day you rest. 6 days you work, one day you rest. That's the pattern. That's the rhythm of work and rest that God ingrains into the creation account. A lot of folks talk about striking this work-life balance. Oh, I just need to work less so I can live more. I need to work less so I can have more time for my family. Or I need to have less time for my family and work more. I don't know, however you want to figure that out. But work-life balance is not a scriptural concept. God is not telling us to live our life in balance. He's telling us to live our life by a rhythm. And that rhythm is work six, rest one. Work six, rest one. It's not equal time. It's not work and rest are in balance. Life, work, balance. No. Work six, rest one. Work six, rest one. A sustainable rhythm of life that God establishes for us. What is all that about, taking one day to cease from work? Now, arguably, our times are different. Again, we're living in the instant on, always on world that we're in right now. Back then it was different. No technology, no electricity, right? It's the sun was the light, and when that thing went down, couldn't see what I was doing, may as well go to sleep, right? We'll try again tomorrow. Okay? Our world is different, but this pattern hasn't changed. This rhythm of life that God desires for his creation still is in play today. Take one day off. Rest from your labors. Cease from your labors. They didn't have Publix back then, right? So the only way they had food was if they did what? They grew it, right? They had to work the land. for it to produce, right? It didn't just magically appear. They had to work it. They had to labor to engage that. So for God to come along and say, now take one of those days off, right? You didn't work, you didn't eat. Nevertheless, this pattern doesn't change. And I want us to fast forward now a couple thousand years or so and look at when God brings this again to his people. They walk through that whole history of Israel, which we do not have time to go through here. But you know the account. Israel finds themselves in bondage, 430 years in slavery to Egypt, working, producing, not for themselves, but for their masters. God gloriously delivers them, okay, from their exile there in Egypt, brings them now out of that, and God gives them his law. He establishes his covenant once again with them, and now he gives them his law. So open to Exodus chapter 20. This is the first reading and account we have here. Moses on Mount Sinai, right, receives the commandments, the law of God written then on stone tablets, and he presents this to the people. And you know them, right? You'll have no other gods before me. Not take the name of the Lord in vain, right? Honor your father and mother. Don't murder, right? Don't covet. All of those things, right, which you and I would say are still valid for today, yes? Just because we're in Christ, is the law abolished? We still obey the law. Our motivation for obedience is different in Christ, but the law is still accessible today. So how come when we come to the fourth commandment here, we have a problem with it? Let's read it. Verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord, your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female... Guys, don't have your male servants and female servants doing anything. Or your livestock. Make sure your goats and horses aren't working either. Listen, or the sojourner who is within your gates. Listen, what's he doing here? He's going to go back to the creation account. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Look at the explanation he's going. He doesn't just say, obey the Sabbath and keep it holy. He's given you the reason for it. The pattern established in the creation account. Work six, rest one. Work six, rest one. God blessed that day. He made it holy. That word Sabbath comes from a Hebrew word which means to cease. Okay, the Sabbath day is a day where one ceases from labor. Ceases from work. Now, over time, with the traditions of the Pharisees and the scribes and all this, they made the Sabbath this impossible thing. They actually added a heavy burden to the people of God on what it meant to obey the Sabbath. Like, you couldn't even cook on the Sabbath. You couldn't make that wonderful Sunday meal like that some of you make on Sunday afternoon. You couldn't do any of that. It was all sin if you engaged in anything. You couldn't pick up this. You couldn't do that. This is not what God intended here. But he says, you'll obey the Sabbath. You will cease from labor. Now, Moses reiterates this in the book of Deuteronomy. All right, and I want you to see this there in chapter 5 of Deuteronomy. In sharing these commandments once again with the people of God, listen to this footnote, if you will, that he adds to that. Deuteronomy 5:15. So he tells them, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Says virtually the same things we just read. And then he says, you shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt. And the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. Listen to what he's saying there. You got to remember this. Keep the Sabbath day. Keep it holy. God blessed it. 6 days he labored, 1 day he rest. That's the pattern. And don't forget this. You were a slave. You were in bondage, and God gloriously rescued you. Therefore, he commands you to keep the Sabbath. So not only do we have this rhythm established by God, we have this hearkening back to the deliverance of God's people, in which God now gives them that command and tells them, keep this in mind. This is what you were. You were a slave. And what were you when you were a slave? You were just this massive productivity machine for the Egyptians. You labored, you worked, you toiled 24/7, not for yourself, not for your kids, not for your inheritance, but for your masters. And that's what I took you out of. That's what I delivered you from. And if you didn't produce, you were dead. If you didn't produce, you were useless. You were expendable. You were killed. You were discarded. You were worthless. And I rescued you from that. I redeemed you. I'm your deliverer. I am your redeemer. So you don't need to strive to produce anymore. I'm going to provide for you. Work six, rest one. Work six, rest one. They're to rest from their labor one day a week and remember what God brought them out of. A day of worship. They're to cease from their labor and recognize that they belong to Yahweh. They belong to the Lord God, the creator of heaven and earth. And they're to keep that day as holy by ceasing from labor, engaging in worship, and bringing these things to mind. What they came out of, the Sabbath day, was not a drudgery. It was mercy. It was the mercy of God. Like if anyone could have demanded them to work 24/7, it wasn't the Egyptians. Could have been God. But he says, here's what I'm going to do for you. This is the pattern. He resets the creation order. Work six, rest one, and keep this in mind. I delivered you. So it wasn't just a day of ceasing from work and staying in bed all day, watching TV. When you read through Hebrew writing and stuff, the Sabbath day is a day of delight, a day of joy. It wasn't a drudgery. It wasn't like, man, I got so much to do. No, for God's people, this became the central structure of their life, the rhythm around which their life revolved. One day rest, 6 days work, right? It was the start of the week for them, engaged in this particular way. Ultimately, observing the Sabbath day for God's people was a sign of obedience. First of all, it was that affirmation that God is the creator and sustainer of the world. That's the rhythm. And it was a recognition of trust in their deliverer to care for them, just like he took care of them on that Exodus journey. And ultimately took care of them by bringing them into the promised land. And ultimately takes care of us because now we get to actually enter into the full and real Sabbath rest, which is Christ. God is our deliverer and sustainer, and we can trust him for that. In ceasing from labor, God's people are reminded of their true status. You and I are dependent beings, not independent beings. You and I, that's our status, dependent beings. You and I are dependent upon the Lord to sustain us as he sustains all of creation. This world does not belong to us. It belongs to the Lord. So God establishes that rhythm. God calls his people to remembrance. God commands it to observe the Sabbath. Why do we break it? Why is this so challenging for us as a people to engage in? Living life at a frenetic pace. You and I were not made to work nonstop. You and I were not made to obsess and control everything in our orbit. Rest is not a luxury. Rest is a necessity. God built that into this human project. God built that. Rest ultimately counteracts the pride that results in busyness and exhaustion. All those things we talked about, rest is one of the cures for it. It's not some magic thing, man. It's not some crazy thing. It's actual, real rest, which we'll talk about in a moment. Think about sleep. We talked a little bit about that last week. How much of your life do you spend sleeping? About a third of your life is spent in this massive state of unproductivity. Like, think about what you could accomplish if you didn't have to sleep. Imagine what you could do. Man, we would rule the world, right? If we didn't have to sleep. I mean, God could have made this and designed this anyway, couldn't he have? He could have made us beings who could be up 24/7. But he doesn't do that, does he? He divides the day, right? To day and night. Day is for work, and night is for rest and sleep. And when you get a pattern of six of those on the seventh, you actually cease from all your labor, day and night. Like, this is what God built into the pattern and rhythm of creation, this rhythm of work and rest, six and one, day and night. So why do we need to sleep when the scripture says that God doesn't need to sleep? Right? That's what is that? Psalm 121. He who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. He doesn't need to rest. God doesn't need to rest, so why do we need? We can do so much more with that time. Rest is ultimately, like I said, a mercy. Rest is a gift from God. Sleep is a gift from God. When we're actually resting. Look what it says in Psalm 127:2. It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives to his beloved more work. Gives him what? Sleep, man, sleep. Peaceful sleep and rest is the opposite of anxiety and burnout. It is the opposite of this extreme tiredness and exhaustion we walk in. Because ultimately, what do? We are trusting in God. It's a gift from our Creator. It's a daily reminder that the world does not implode when we shut our eyelids. I know we feel like that. I can't go to sleep. There's so much to do. As many times I'm like, man, why can't you sleep? Man, I got so many things going on in my head. What is that all about? That's me not trusting. That's me obsessing. That's me being anxious about toil when I should be peacefully resting and trusting in God who keeps this world spinning somehow, even though I'm not awake. Even though you're not awake. Somehow when you're asleep, the other half of the world is doing just fine, doing its thing. Because it's God ultimately who's in control, not us. It is God who is sovereign, not us. It is God who's responsible for all that, not us. And he gives his beloved rest and sleep. God is not impressed with our hectic life. God is not impressed by our busyness. God is not impressed with our burning the midnight oil. He's not impressed with us anxiously obsessing about things in our life. What God is impressed with is in the person who lives a sustainable rhythm of life that peacefully trusts in him. That impresses God. He's not impressed with this working 7 days a week. He's not impressed with this never resting, always available, always producing rhythm of life that you and I have. That doesn't move him. He gave a rhythm for us, and we violate it when we reject that every time. When we neglect sleep. Now, I don't know how much sleep you need, but most humans need about 8 hours of sleep, 6 to 8 hours of sleep. Some need more. I don't know. Some of you might need 12. I don't know. You need 12. Yeah, Josh needs 12. Right, but what do? We stay up late. If we're not working, we're watching TV or we're on our tablets or we're doing that kind of stuff. We go to bed late, midnight, 1 a.m. Got to get up early for work. We're tired. We're exhausted, right? We neglect something that God gives us as a gift that is not a waste of time from God's vantage point, but something that's of absolute necessity for humanity to be able to function at the level that we are supposed to. That's what impresses God. To observe the Sabbath is an acknowledgement of our human limitation and requires us to care for our bodies and minds that God has entrusted us with. Your mind, your body, your soul, guess whose responsibility that is? It's yours. It's mine. We're stewards of the things that God gives us. When we neglect sleep, when we neglect appropriate rhythm of rest in our life and we are run down and we are burned out, does that glorify God? Does it? It doesn't. It doesn't. And we're not functioning then at the capacity that we should be in this mission that God has given us to, right? The proclamation of the gospel. Bringing glory to Him in all spheres of life and all of these things. A rhythm of rest is recognition of reliance on my Redeemer. Again, I can rest because God is sovereign and I'm not. In fact, let's say that together. God is sovereign and I'm not. God is God and I'm not. It'd do well to remind us ourselves of that every so often, right? I can rest because God established that as a normal rhythm of life before the fall. So I want to give you permission, not from me, but from God, to rest. To say no to things. To stop overcommitting your life. To stop being this cluttered closet that has no breathing room, no margin, is always exasperated, is always overwhelmed, and can't engage in the things that God has for you to engage in. This is not the rhythm of life God wants us to live in. And ultimately, you need to determine what that kind of rest looks like for your life. For sure, listen, some of you need to get to bed earlier. You need to get to bed earlier. We don't need to be up at midnight. We don't. Ultimately, when you and I don't have time for things, especially like on Sunday, some people tell me, man, oh, Sunday's my only day, so I got to do all of this other stuff. You know, so when we read a command like this, you know, to keep the Sabbath day holy, to cease from all labor, sometimes people ask, well, can I do this then on Sunday? And that's the wrong question. Because ultimately, when we start thinking about Sunday as the day to do things, usually what we got to point to is a misuse of time and priorities the other 6 days of our week. God wants that to be a rhythm of rest in the life of His people, 6 and 1. Even in our world today. In fact, in our day, we need this even more, I think, than these dudes in the Old Testament. With the kind of pace and life that most of us live here in this place, we need rest. To be at our, I don't know about you, but I want to be at my best. And there's a combination thing. There's a constellation of things that always have to happen in these things, right? It could be sleep more. It could be, again, minimize, you know, technology, man. Technology, sorry, is the biggest time suck of anything else in our day and age. It just is. And sadly, we're training our kids up in this way, right? So when they perpetuate this, when they're older, we only have ourselves to blame, you know, in that, okay? Guilty as charged here. But we need to really, really process these kind of things. So sleep and diet and exercise and all of those things need to be happening in our life for appropriate care of these temples that God has given us. So we're not at this place of exhaustion. Brother and sister, we have a work to do, man. The mission of Christ is beyond all of us and requires the best of us. And being tired and exhausted, because I'm tired of using that as an excuse in my own life why I can't engage and do things. Because I'm tired. Because I'm exhausted. There is a misprioritization of something in my life when I am that way all the time. When I wake up that way. You wake up tired? I wake up tired. I don't think it's supposed to be that way. I don't think so. We need to really evaluate what that looks like in our life and what is that about. And when this day is supposed to be. Now, you might think this is a work day for me, and it is to some degree, but this is part of the Sabbath, right? God's people coming together. This is my function. This is the role God has appointed for me. But we should be engaging in rest as God's people gathered in worship and the hearing of the Word of God. And then the rest of this day needs to continue in worship. And this isn't the day to be filled with distractions. This is a day to worship and delight and rejoice in our God who gives us rest as a gift. The start of our week, right? So that, man, we can, the next 6 days, man, we can work hard and we can devote ourselves and give ourselves. And we're back in this rhythm once again. And for the people of God, this takes on even another level because it's not just a ceasing from labor. There's another rest you and I get to enter into. That frees us from anxiety and obsessing over our toils. But the scripture tells us that Jesus is the ultimate Sabbath rest. Like, this is the rest that God promised his people. It was salvation in and through Christ. And Jesus invites us into that rest. Turn with me in closing to Matthew chapter 11. A familiar portion of scripture to many of you. Matthew chapter 11. I'm going to read it out of the ESV, and then I'm going to read it from the Message paraphrase by Eugene Peterson, because I do love how he fleshed this particular portion out. But look what Jesus says in 11:28 through 30. Come to me. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden. And what does he give us? I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This is the invitation that Jesus gives to his follower. Do you feel like this? Laboring and heavy laden. And that word labor means working to the point of exhaustion. It's not just simple work. Okay, working to the point of exhaustion, to be brought to the point of exhaustion. Are you burdened? Come to me. Come to me. Eugene Peterson renders this in his paraphrase like this. Are you tired? Worn out? Burned out on religion? Remember, I told you, the Pharisees added all of these other things to the Sabbath rest and laid these burdens on the people of God, impossible burdens for them to carry and live out. So they lived under guilt and shame, and they were exhausted trying to obey things that God himself did not give them to do. And he says, are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. I like that. I like that. There are some here that feel that way today. Tired, worn out, exhausted, burned out, overwhelmed, stretched beyond imagination. Jesus invites you to that rest. Work's not going to go away. Our having to labor is not going to end until the Lord returns. But God has established a rhythm and a pattern for you and I that when we engage in it and we rest with this full recognition that in Christ you and I have been freed. We've been freed. Remember those things that I told you about, the things that actually add to our busyness and ultimately to burnout, right? Our need to please other people. Do we need to do that in Christ? There's only one person we need to please. Guess who that is? It's God. It's not your spouse. It's not your kids. It's not your best friend. God is ultimately the one you and I need to live to please. And the beautiful thing is, he's already pleased with us in Christ. So that ceases the performance that brings about, because I don't measure up, feelings of guilt and being overwhelmed by another weight, right? I'm free in Christ. So we engage in Sabbath rest when you and I process that and remember that and reflect all of that and recognize that I can enter into this kind of rest, because ultimately what I rely on is not my human effort or ingenuity. It's not in my striving and working. My ultimate reliance is upon my Redeemer who freed me and rescued me. So I don't need to prove myself to anyone else. I don't need to pursue possessions as a way of feeling good about myself or feeling important in the world, because I could care less about that and you could care less about that. Because ultimately we live to please Christ. And he's the one who invites us into this kind of rest. He's the one who invites us in and says, no, you don't need to produce. You don't need to perform. You don't need to do any of those things to be loved by me and come into this rest. You don't need to do any of those things for me to be pleased with you. Beloved, that's a weight off of our shoulder. which should allow us to lay our head on our pillow at night and remember who's in control while I'm asleep of whatever situation you and I are facing in our life. He's in control, and He is sovereign over all those things. And I can shut my eyes, and the world keeps going. I can shut my eyes and turn my brain off and enter into this peaceful rest that God has promised for me as His son, has promised you as His son and daughter. Come to me, Jesus says. And this issue of rest, guys, this is not a quick thing. This is not a quick fix. We want 15-minute abs, but that's not how it works with rest, right? You can't rush it. There's no shortcuts to it. You have to intentionally enter into it. That means you take a day a week and you turn your phone off. And you don't have to respond to emails. I don't care what your employer says. Because who are you trying to honor? Your employer or the Lord? And it's a day you say with your family, look, this is a day, man. You can do things. You can be. There's no legalism in this, man. This is grace. This is the grace of God. But you're taking time where you're not engaging in the madness you and I are in the other 6 days of the week. So turn that phone off. You got permission from the Lord Almighty to do that. That thing does not need to rule us. And I'm going to talk about technology next week. Let me not get ahead of myself. I'll save that spanking for next week. All right? We need to enter into rest. We need to breathe, man. We need this pattern of life. Come to me, Jesus says, and I will show you how to really rest. So you and I, we do need to do some repentance. We have to repent in this area. I am going to lead us in repentance in that area. To humble ourselves and recognize our need of rest. I'm looking at you guys, you need rest. I see it. I see it in all of us, man. I feel like I'm looking at a reflection of myself in you this morning. And everyone who stayed home to rest this morning, right? We need it. And trust God to provide for you. See, because ultimately that's what it is. To a culture that was agrarian, that had to work the land, for God to say, now you're going to take a day off and rest, tell me that isn't trust right there. So while I'm not working, God, you're going to provide? Yes, that's what I'm going to do. So what I should be doing in 7, I'm only going to do it in 6, and you're going to take care of me? Yes, I am. Do you believe that? We need to, because it's true. When we honor God this way, and ultimately you and I need to see Christ as God's provision for rest for us. Jesus said He's the Lord of the Sabbath, right? He rules the Sabbath. Hebrews chapter 4 tells us that that is the rest. Read that chapter at some point here, man. It's just filled with rich truth in this area that we just don't have time today to go into. He is the Sabbath rest. He's the reason you and I can rest this way, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and physically. Go ahead and stand.